Hello, fellow Rebel Capitals. Hope you're well. Unfortunately, we've got some bad news. Swift, the payment messaging system, which is utilized by the majority of the global banks, have announced that they are setting up a CBDC platform that's coming out in 12 to 24 months. So this is the thing we have been talking about for a long time on this channel. And unfortunately, like we've predicted, it is becoming reality. This is something we all need to be prepared for. So let's go right over to, first and foremost, Investopedia, because I want you to understand the scale or the reach of the current SWIFT payment system, because you've got to look at their CBDC announcement through that lens. So we start with Investopedia and look at the hard numbers here, guys. More than 11,000 global SWIFT member institutions, i.e. banks, sent an average of 44.8 million messages daily through the network in November 2022. So 11,000 banks sending 45 million messages daily through the SWIFT system. This is a company that pretty much reaches every single bank in the world, in the Eurodollar system. We're not just talking about the Fed. We're not just talking about the domestic US banks. We're talking about the whole entire global network. Now let's go over to this Reuters article that goes into further detail. First and foremost, around 90% of the world's central banks are now exploring CBDCs. What's amazing about this is how fast this is all progressing. For those of you who have been watching my channel for a long time, way back to the beginning in 2019, you remember I used to talk about CBDCs. Well, I've been talking about them forever. But when I first started talking about them occasionally in 2019, people were calling me a tinfoil hatter. They're calling me Alex Jones. They're calling me a fearmonger. Oh, George, it's a central bank digital currency, right? Okay, doom and gloomer. And we gradually start to hear more and more of these banksters and central planners and authoritarians talking about a CBDC. And then you start to hear Jerome Powell talking about it. Then the BIS comes out with their paper about the unified ledger. I've done videos about all these things. And now here you go. And then we get Fedwire or FedNow, although that's not a CBDC, that's infrastructure. And this is just the next step. And it's not just about a Fed coin. I mean, you guys know this because you're a sophisticated audience, but most of the normies out there that even know about a CBDC, they think it's some sort of competing currency for the dollar, as though the Fed's just going to come out and say, hey, we've got this great idea. Now we want you to use Fedcoin, and people are going to have a choice as to how they transact. No, this is not the way it's going to go down. The way it's going to go down is due to a banking crisis, black swan, financial event, whatever you want to call it. This is my view, of course. The central planners are going to come out and say, look, why on earth do you have your dollars, your assets? Why would you want them to be a liability of a commercial bank? This doesn't make sense. When that commercial bank can go bust, why are you taking that risk to begin with? And oh, by the way, that commercial bank you're dealing with that's paying you, let's say, 2% interest on your savings account or your checking account, that's not fair. Not fair at all. These greedy banksters, how dare they? When the Federal Reserve themselves are paying Jamie Dimon, JP Morgan, 5.25% on their checking account, bank reserves. And you can imagine someone like Biden or Trump or any of these guys saying, hey, this is a no-brainer. This is a great idea. This is going to benefit everybody. And the people like Trump that come out and say that he's anti-CBDC, he's not even going to know the difference. He's going to be like, sure, let's take everything to the Fed's balance sheet. Great. Then we can pay everybody all this extra money. And as a populist, I get reelected. So one of the main reasons this is so detrimental is the consolidation of the ledger. Once they consolidate the ledger to where there's just one, then they control everything, absolutely everything. And it's not really about the technology. It's just about the centralization of the ledger. And if you want proof of that, go back and watch some of my videos I've done on Gazbank in Russia. That was the, I believe it was set up in 1922, and it lasted until pretty much 1990. And it was not only the central bank, but it was the only commercial bank. They're one and the same. And if you read about the power Gazbank had, it reads just like a dystopian view of a central bank digital currency. They were able to micromanage credit. They were able to control individualized interest rates. If you bought something they didn't like, they could monitor the transaction and they could prevent that transaction from occurring. It's identical to the 1984 Big Brother stuff that we talk about constantly around CBDCs. And they didn't have computers back then. See, it's all about having a completely centralized ledger. That's what we have to push back against, regardless of what you want to call it. What we want is the complete opposite. We want a completely decentralized ledger, even if we had the exact same system. Okay, getting back to the article. So they say most don't want to be left behind by Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, but are grappling with technological complexities. They're not that, it's not that technologically advanced. And what you'll see when we read further into the article is they're getting over these speed bumps very, very quickly. And by the way, do they really want to compete with Bitcoin? Yeah, I don't think so. Maybe from a standpoint of features, what they want is the control. Hey guys, I want to invite each and every one of you to join me May 31st through June 2nd in Orlando for Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the annual conference I do, and this year it's going to be absolutely incredible. We're going to have some of your favorites there as speakers, guys like Jeff Snyder, Mike Green, The Real Estate, Kenny McElroy. We're going to have Robert Barnes. They're talking about freedom and liberty. Even Rich Cooper is going to be there discussing red pill issues. This event is all about giving you the intel, the insider information you need to not only survive 2024, but thrive. The whole reason I created this event was to give you the tools you need to build the future you deserve for yourself and your family. This is an event you are not going to want to miss. So to get more information, go to rebelcapitalistlive.com. You can see a full list of speakers we've had in the past. You can see clips from past events. And most importantly, you can get your tickets. As we get closer to the event, the tickets go up in price. So you're going to want to get those ASAP at rebelcapitalistlive.com. And we will see you in Orlando, May 31st through June 2nd. Swift's head of innovation, there's a title for you, Nick Kerrigan, said its latest trial, which took 6 months and involved a 38-member group of central banks, commercial banks, and settlement platforms, had been one of the largest global collaborations on CBDCs. And here's the kicker, guys, and tokenized assets. Don't forget that when they consolidate the ledger, they're not just consolidating the ledger for quote-unquote money. They're consolidating the ledger for everything you own. Your house, guess what? That's going to be tokenized. That's going to be on their ledger. Your car, your stocks, your bonds. I mean, I'm sure they're going to try to figure out a way to actually tokenize Bitcoin. I don't know if they can do it, but why wouldn't they try? Same thing with gold, silver. It's going to be, that actually would be very interesting, scary, but interesting to see how they tackle that problem. Problem in their eyes. If focused on ensuring different countries, CBDCs can all be used together, even if built on different underlying technologies or protocols. So they talk about how the technologies are a hurdle, and there they, you know, this thing. Look, it's happening so quickly. I don't want us to sit back and try to lull ourselves to sleep, thinking that, oh, well, there's so many technological hurdles, the central planners aren't going to be able to figure this stuff out. No. Trust me, they will. Kerrigan said the results, which had also proven banks could use their existing infrastructure, had been widely regarded as a success by those who took part in this SWIFT experiment, or called an a beta test. We are looking at a roadmap to productize, launch as a product in the next 12 to 24 months. This gentleman said this in an interview. It's moving out of the experimental stage towards something that can become a reality. Now, I know another one of the pushbacks that I get is, well, George, there's no way this is going to happen because the banks, it'll interrupt their profit. They're never going to allow that. Well, number one, you got to remember who owns the central banks, the banks themselves. And number two, it's not the way I see it. I see it as them inviting a CBDC into the mix, or a CBDC network, a CBDC system, because they're still able to make all their fees, but they have less downside. Let's get back to the article. The firm has gone from being virtually unknown, so to talk about SWIFT, to a household name since 2022, when it cut most of Russia's banks off from the network. Right. Well, I dispute that a little bit, but I don't want to go down that rabbit hole for this video. As part of the West's sanctions for the invasion of Ukraine, Kerrigan said that kind of move could still happen in a new CBD system, but doubted whether it would stop countries from joining. Well, of course, it won't stop them from joining. But the problem is the CBDC system allows the government to come in and do that to the people, not just Russia. Its latest trial involves central banks from Germany, France, Australia, Singapore, Czech Republic, Thailand, as well as a number that requested to remain anonymous. If it was going to be so great for the people, why would they want to remain anonymous? A raft of heavyweight commercial banks. So here's where we get into what I've been saying again this whole time. I get a lot of things wrong, but man, I nailed this, unfortunately. And this is the one thing where I wish I was, or I would have been wrong. A raft of heavyweight commercial banks, including HSBC, Citibank, Deutsche, Societe Generale, Standard Charter, and CLSFX settlement platform all took part too, as did at least two banks from China. Of course, this is a no-brainer for the banks. The idea is that once the Interlink solution is scaled up, banks would have one main global connection point, able to handle digital asset payments rather than thousands. They were set up an individual with every counterparty. Yeah, look, I'm not here to say that from a wholesale standpoint or even a retail standpoint, there are no benefits to a CBDC. There absolutely are. And that's one of the things that concerns me the most. I talked about this with Jeff Booth last night on a Twitter space where I pointed out to all those people that, look, there is no one that's more against a CBDC than I am. But I'm also talking about all the advantages it will have over the current system. Why? Because we need to understand what we're up against here. We're up against Goliath. We're up against a behemoth. We're up against the ultimate challenge. And what I see a lot of people do is sit back and say, oh, this, no one's ever going to want a CBDC. Who's going to want a social score? No one's ever going to want a CBDC. Who's going to want their currency to be inflated away to oblivion? So therefore, I don't have to worry about it. I can just sit back and do nothing. This is the attitude the central planners want you to have. They want you to have that level of complacency, because then what they can do is they can roll it out. They're not going to call it a CBDC. And I can assure you, they're not going to roll out a social score to begin with. Absolutely not. Why would they do that? They understand that it would be a PR nightmare. That's why a lot of these central banks want to remain anonymous. But then once they get the average Joe and Jane hooked on the system, just like they're hooked on their iPhone, then they're going to start rolling out the Orwellian components. And then, like using an iPhone or a smartphone, people are just going to rationalize as to why it's not a big deal. And that frog is just going to continue to be cooked in a slow fashion until you're done. Going back to the article, as well as the advance towards CBDCs, Kerrigan pointed to a forecast from Boston Consulting Group that by 2030, around $16 trillion worth of assets could be tokenized, a process where assets like stocks and bonds and real estate and everything else are transformed into digital chips that can be used and traded in real time and are all contained on a centralized ledger that a small group of global elite have access to and control. Bottom line, this is a matter of when. It is not a matter of if. So we have to prepare for this now, assuming you're someone that prioritizes freedom, liberty, and what we have left of free market capitalism. And unfortunately, when they roll this out, unless you want to live like the Amish, which is fine, you're going to have to play ball. You're going to have to interact with their network. The key initially is trying to figure out how can you interact as much as possible outside of that network. And that's exactly why Josh and I are going down to Argentina next week and doing the Central Bank Digital Currency Road Trip to Freedom Challenge. It's what we want to try to achieve is to show you in real time what it's like to use these monies, if you want to call them that, that are outside of the system that can't be tracked by Klaus, Bill Gates, and Larry Fink. And what you're going to see is that right now it's difficult. It's very challenging. But the takeaways that you're going to have from watching us do this in real time, and obviously we're going to be posting it right up to the channel, is you're going to have the benefit of sitting back and say, okay, I saw how George did it. I saw the what he had to go through to make that happen. How can I implement those strategies in my own life right now and therefore be more prepared when they do roll out this CBDC so I can transact outside of the system as much as possible? Maybe not just you, but you, your community, your fellow rebel capitalists, your friends, your family members, and the people you really care about. And what this does is it buys really, really smart people like Jeff Booth and Lynn Alden time to create an ecosystem that allows you to unplug, but yet continue to buy the majority of the things that you buy daily. That was one of the main takeaways from the conversation. And for all the Bitcoiners that are super smart out there, and there are a lot of them. There's a lot of them that are complete idiots, but there's a lot, like any group, I guess. There's a lot that are really, really smart and working on solving these problems. And for those people out there, I'm looking you straight in the eye, and I hope you understand the urgency, because I would be shocked if we don't have a CBDC in the United States within the next 5 years. Scary stuff, guys. All right. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. If you guys want to check out Rebel Capitalists Live, I'd strongly suggest that, because that's when we're going to be coming together as a group, as a network, as a community, and helping each other not only survive, but thrive in this crazy world that we're living in. And we're bringing in a lot of experts in the macro space, in the freedom space, the plan B, the Bitcoin, gold, real estate, and everything in between. So this is an event you're not going to want to miss. You can get your tickets at rebelcapitalistlive.com. See you in the next video.